take my mind away on a ride.
Yeah, my well-being is there.
Yeah, and it's kind of like a storm cloud, or it takes the mind on a trip. And so for a while, you know, it's kind of like if you go to the movie and say it's some sort of a scary movie or a very engrossing movie, all of a sudden, you know, your mind is just gone. There's no buddhi there. There's no intellect there. There's not even a hunkar there. You're just totally taken away, you know, by the script of the movie. And so here, so even say for a person has good clarity, but then the raga dvesha, these likes, strong likes and dislikes are there, lack of dispassion, lack of vairagya is there. What happens is you'll just be innocently there enjoying your knowledge, all is well.
Until it isn't.
Until this, the mind gets caught by this raga dvesha. And then it's as though the mind is swooshed off on a roller coaster ride. Until, and this is a really beautiful logic. Swamiji talks about this logic in one of the discussions we have on the homepage. You know, who is going to win out here? Now the mind has, because of its raga dvesha, it has just, you know, taken the mind on this wild ride, you know, until the mind kind of wakes up from it, right? And then when the mind wakes, when that little ride is over, then you say, oh my God. But who is the one saying that, oh my God, that was amazing? It's the one who has knowledge. So that is jnanam with pratibandhakas. It doesn't mean that you don't have knowledge. It means that you don't have clarity. It means that there's an emotional lifetime between the buddhi, the intellect, and the manas. The manas, the one that is, you know, has so much shakti, it's got so much power. It's where all of the raga dveshas are there really in the manas. All of the emotion, the emotional charge is there. And so it'll just drag the buddhi along with it for a while.
What do you mean by lack of vairagya?
It means I need this to be happy. I need things to be like this so I can be happy, either in a positive way or a negative way.
Or if the world's not like this, I'm not complete.
Right. My well-being is dependent upon you being in a certain way, or the world being in a certain way.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, one of the great, I mean, say if you really understand this, so this isn't just some sort of a practice, but it's a practice based upon true understanding, is to use, we use those times where I need things to be a certain way. Those are really our greatest sadhana. Because there it is. You know, there it is right there. It's in the room with you. We say, you know, when we do therapy, because I'm a therapist, and so when we're working with our clients, this third person stuff doesn't work, where they come into the room and they're reporting about what happened. That doesn't usually work. It's not transformative. You know, because it's third person. Your emotions aren't there. Your emotions aren't engaged. You're not engaged with it. You're just reporting. And so that's why we're, you know, when you're working a different way with somebody where the emotions and the feelings are present, and then we're actually working with those, that's much more effective. Mm-hmm. And so I look at it like that in terms of individually, when you want something to be a different way so that you can be happy, that's a really good time. You know, there it is right here in the room. Something to work about and to say things to us like, do you really need this to be happy? Is that the truth? How do you really feel about that? And really, because it's, you know, there is this emotional lifetime, and when that happens, to really let that part of yourself talk to you about it, the one that really feels, yeah, I really need this to be happy, and if I don't have this, I'm just going to be, you know, ruined and miserable. And
it's a disaster.
It's going to just be an absolute disaster. And just hear it out. You know, and then after you hear it out and work with it on different levels, you can finally bring your knowledge in, and you'll start to realize, you know, actually that isn't true. It's just, it isn't true. My fullness and my ananda is not at all really dependent on that. If anything, it's dependent on my attitude toward that. I mean, so what's making myself miserable, in fact, is that I feel that it's that way. It's actually not that way, because the source of the ananda has nothing to do with the world. The source of the ananda is my own being.
What happens if that process is going on at the time of death? You know, I mean, what you just described.
If it's going on, and say you don't have clarity or nishtha or whatever at the time, to your satisfaction at the time, you want this and need that and want this and need that, then you'll get a good birth next time.
Then you turn the tape recorder on and you listen to tonight.
That's what Krishna says. You know, he says to Arjuna. Krishna says to Arjuna had this worry, because here he's going to be fighting this battle and you're giving me all of this clarity and I'm seeing it, but what's going to happen? I've seen this for 2 hours. Now I'm going to go out into the battle. What if I'm killed then? You know, and I don't haven't grasped it completely. You'll be born, either you'll be born into a family of yogis and you'll pick up your knowledge, or you'll, if you have certain desires and things to fill out, you'll be born into a dharmic family and you'll pick up your knowledge.
So if you gain knowledge with obstacles, are you saying that there's going to be a continuation? I mean, there's a skill.
It depends. There can also be something that's called karma mukti, where things, and when you drop this body, there's just certain experiences you have on a subtle level, and that burns itself out and goes. It just depends on your situation. Like, what if you're like Arjuna and you get this knowledge? You know, say you're 80 years old.
Almost.
And then we're getting close. So anyway, you get this knowledge. It's clear, but there's still a lot of assimilation, a lot of things that have to become clear. And so you die. You get this knowledge. You've had it, you know, for a couple of weeks, and you die. So what? Then you take a birth. You get a dharmic birth into a good family, and you're reunited with this knowledge, and you finish it. You have to think like this also, that this is not your life. This is like one moment. This birth is like one moment in your life. Right? And so it's so silly in a way. We're thinking, so here's your life, 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 life. This is your life. Here's this one moment of this birth. And it's literally just a flash in the pan. It's just a moment. Now what you're saying, okay, here's this moment. Now I need to gain my jnana nishtha in this moment. That means that I should be born, let's see, with the amount of mala impurities I have, and I'm going to need several years to work all that out. So I should become a jnani by the time I'm 25. And if I had, you know, 50 years to work all that out, then... You see what I mean? So what if you're born, what if you get knowledge at you're 50 or you're 75 or you're 80, then you say, oh, poor me. Poor me. Whereas actually, you have to look at, here's your life, and this is just a flash in the pan. So whether you gain knowledge in jnana nishtha and your little... the whole thing is over in this life, or it bleeds over into the next. It is not relevant. That's what I'm saying. But we don't look at it that way, because we look at 80 years, or that's a long time. You know, or say we're working on this knowledge and getting rid of our, you know, obstructions and complexes and all of that. Oh my God, am I going to have time to get through all of that? You know? And chances are very great. Yes. Yes. But from another perspective, so what? I mean, look at it. Here you are. Here's your little flash in the pan. In this little flash in the pan, you gain knowledge. You gain knowledge. Okay? It's over. you know, whether you have to work things out and you have to come back for another birth to finish things up, it's over. Whether you have to exhaust some things and, you know, Krama Mukti means the subtle body has some more experiences after death, but then finishes that off between lives. They have some idea of Krama Mukti there. It doesn't make any difference. You know? But to us, it makes a difference. But what I'm saying is you should pull back a little bit and understand that this life is really just a section. It's just a chapter. Not even a chapter.
It's a verse.
It's a verse. But I like to look at it that way, because I think that's the truth, and we get everything, you know. Yeah. We think 80 years is a long time. They even say in the tradition that this is a little tangential, but say for instance you're married, because married couples, if one loses their husband, say they were married and for 10 years, and then they lose their husband and they have to live for 20 or 30 or 40 years alone without their loved one. You know, that is, of course, a concern. If somebody's 50 and they have another 20 years to live, they're away from their partner. That can be, people worry about that. But in the tradition, they say the time zone is completely different. Then we're not talking about jnanis now at all. We're talking just about jivas. The one who dies, their time zone is totally different. So from their standpoint, this life of their partner who's still living on this plane, it's like that. They're dead like that within a few minutes. They just join their partner and whatever the karma is from their standpoint. But that standpoint, in a sense, is more real, because from their standpoint, there's this is one small segment of a long, you know, beginningless lifespan. And so they're seeing it from their perspective. They're seeing a span of many, many lives. And so the time marking is much different. That's just part of the Hindu tradition. Not just that they don't really, I don't know that they talk about that in the Upanishads, but they talk about that within the tradition itself. So I know that's a little tangential, but I just thought of it.
It seems to me, I went to a little informal Hindu marriage here in Calcutta, and the priest said that this couple was getting married, and they were marrying into the future, into other lives.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I've never heard of
that. Okay.
I haven't either.
Yeah, well, they were from Trinidad.
No, that's an interesting. I've never heard of either.
Yeah. No, this marriage is going to be lasting.
Yeah. Well, that's also accepted. You know, in my spiritual counseling class at school, sometimes I actually talk about the difference between a person who kind of accepts the transmigration, that this is one life among many. For a person who accepts that, then all of our relations are ongoing for how many lifetimes? We have no idea. Our relationships will go on until that karma is finished. It has nothing to do with your physical birth and death. It has to do with the completion of the karmas that you had between yourselves. And so, say in India, that's something that's just kind of known. It doesn't even have to be talked about. It's just in there's so much in the culture, and it's also that this life is one of many lives. You can't cram everything into this life that is possible to imagine, but it's this life is what it is. This is your life this time around, and it involves a set of experiences that are yours. A set of people, a set of experiences, a set of health conditions around your upadhi. I mean, so many things, you know, and that's what it is this time around. But there's many times to come, and there's many times in the past, and this is just one of those times. That that understanding creates a whole different relationship to life than were you to believe that
one shot deal,
and then heaven, hell, or purgatory. and not only that, and wow. Yikes. And not only that, there is no reason why you came to be in this particular form. Like, why you have a healthy body and somebody else is born blind and somebody else is suffering in Darfur, and there's this and that. There's total inequality. There's no justice. Whereas if it's all about the play of karma over a beginningless span of time, we've all been everything. You know, we've all been in probably every conceivable situation, good and bad, because beginningless. You know, and it's not as though, at least in the East, it's not as though we look at a transmigration in an evolutionary way. It's not an evolution in terms of transmigration. We can say evolution here on a physical plane, but not for the jiva. The four birth forms, the living forms that a jiva will take, is only about karma, punya and papa. And so you can take a devata body as a punya bhumi, you know, or you can be born as an animal or as a worm or as a snake or as a plant or as a human being, and then back to a devata, and then back to a plant,
well,
and then back to a worm.
If it's happening that way,
depending upon your karma.
Yeah, if it's happening that way, why bother then, you know?
Well, you because you have free will. And so you can take Dharma seriously and say, you know, I want to protect my situation. I want to make sure that, you know, I have a positive birth next time, and that I attract to myself positive karmas, not negative karmas. So Dharma becomes important, because if I were to live an adharmic life, I'm accruing papa. And as we'll see in the next verse, the quality of life that you live will be the thought that you're left with for an ajnani. You know, because then you can think, you should read Swamiji's commentary. It's really, really nice. He says, you know, you think that, oh, all right, if that's how it is, on my deathbed, I'm going to think of Swargaloka. You know, so I can go there. I'll set that trajectory. I'll just go straight to Swargaloka. But in fact, yeah. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way, because you don't really, at that last moment, you don't have really any will. And so what you're left with is, what is the culmination, what thought is the culmination of your life, everything that you've done. So we'll look at that next week.
So some yogis don't really have an interest in not accumulating new karmas, but rather just finishing old karmas. So they don't get into... They make very conscious choices of who they and what they engage with in order not to accumulate new karmas, right? Because in the moment you enter something new, it's a tendency that you generate new.
Well, I have to think about that. That's pretty complex. I don't think from a Vedantic perspective we'd look at
it. Yeah, well, I was wondering if that exists, that perspective in Vedanta.
I don't think so. I think that gets... So we might have our different way of talking about that.
I've just noticed that was, anyway, we don't need to get into it, but yeah. It's an interesting exploration.
Yeah, I'll do it another time. I'm too tired right now.
Yeah.
Should we start?